Thank you for joining us at Cultivating Hearts. We're back in the studio, and we are actually starting Philippians 4. That's been a while, right? So we're in Philippians 4 today, and we're looking at the eternal crowns and the joy of standing firm in the Lord. And it'll just bring us joy doing that.
You know, I honestly don't even remember how many months we've been studying the book of
either.
Philippians.
Yeah.
It's been a long time.
Long time coming.
Do
but you know what?
You guys just started it. I think it was 2 months before I left for camp.
so that's a long time.
It's been 6 months or so.
The Lord's word is so rich. You can just spend so much time on just one verse.
It's
so that's
amazing.
What we're doing.
I love God's word. Okay, so Philippians 4, we just introduced Philippians 4, and it says, "Therefore, my brothers, whom I love and I long for, my joy and crown, stand firm thus in the Lord, my beloved." I wrote this question out. Why do you think Paul calls the Philippians his joy and his crown? Why would he call them that? Talk out loud what you know.
I think joy has at least the connotation of it being a more, basically a more permanent state than just simply happiness.
That's good.
And he has been investing in them, but they've also ministered a ton to him, so they are his joy in terms of he's seen them grow and themselves become ministers of the gospel, and so that's his joy and his crown is that they're his glory in the sense that he's poured so much into them, and he's and the way that they are serving God is what he's, you know, he's taking joy and pride in a good way.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah.
That's good.
When we when we serve people, I don't know, that heart attachment happens. When we do take the time to gather with them and run the race and develop history, things occur. But I want us to focus in on the crown for a moment, just because it's really fun to find out that Scripture actually talks about 5 different crowns that are our eternal rewards. And so having this mindset of heaven is kind of understanding what is some of the reward of what we have. And each person that we have opportunity to invest in is actually part of our reward. So in many ways, when I look at my students at Grace, I'm able to see them and I feel and know the reward that's eternal that is coming with them. And this morning I was praying about this with God. I was like, God, you know, I don't see it. I don't know how he uses, you know, you try your best to give what you know and you try your best to give them, but you really don't know what it is that they're going to catch. You're just praying it to Jesus that you're giving so that that's what they catch, you know, and he's celebrating them. But he's also celebrating because of what he knows about the crown. So what I wanted us to do is I wanted us to actually look at Scripture to see what Scripture says about our crowns. And so Revelations 4, 9 through 11, I think, Dee, I asked you to look that one up. Why don't you read that one to us?
Okay. Revelations 4, 9 through 11. "And whenever the living creatures give glory and honor and thanks to him who is seated on the throne, who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him, who is seated on the throne, and worship him who lives forever and ever. They cast their crowns before the throne, saying, 'Worthy are you, our Lord and our God, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they existed and were created.'"
Okay, what are we going to do with our crowns?
Given to Jesus. I love that picture.
Right? Mm-hmm. And so he says, "You're my joy and my crown." Now, and just hold on to that, because we're going to actually look at the specific crowns, and we're going to see that there's actually a crown for those that we have played a role in them knowing the Lord. It's crazy. Mm. Okay, let's read the Psalms 8:5.
"You made him a little lower than the heavenly beings and crowned him with glory and honor."
Mm. Okay, so we are created in his image, and what has God crowned him with?
Glory and honor.
Okay,
and glory.
Which is why we want to make sure that our God and our appetite is that Jesus, so that we're giving him glory. Because if God has chosen to give him glory, then that's where our focus needs to be. Yeah. All right, Philippians 3:13 through 14.
Okay, it says, brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead. I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus.
Okay. The prize is the crown, and it's our heavenly reward. Mm-hmm. Okay, so we will cast our crowns before him. We are created in his image to give him glory. Our crowns are our heavenly reward. And then the crowns are given, theologians say, what they call at the Bema seat of judgment. And so 1 Corinthians 3, 10 through 15 says, I'm going to read this one. By the grace God has given me, I laid a foundation as an expert builder, and someone else is building on it. But each one should be careful how he builds. Mm. I'm going to read that one again. I think that's really important. But each one should be careful how he builds, for no one can lay any foundation other than the one already laid, which is Jesus Christ. If any man builds on this foundation using gold, silver, costly stones, wood, hay, or straw, his work will be shown for what it is, because the day will bring it to light. It will be revealed with fire, and the fire will test and the quality of each man's work. If what he has built survives, he will receive his reward. If it is burned up, he will suffer loss. He himself will be saved, but only as one escaping through the flames. Mm. And so pondering, thinking through not just the testing of our faith, but thinking through, how am I careful to build that which is eternal? And that, am I giving that investment? My Greg is always saying, you know, it grieves him, and how that even in Christian circles, we don't have the mindset of eternal things, and that we can get so focused on the play of what is good for me that we forget to have Jesus in our mindset. And so we need to be thinking careful about how we're building the kingdom of God, because it says very clearly that some of it will burn up. It will not stand the test. So the different crowns we have, Becca, I want you to look up for me Revelation 2:10. And on this one here, this is the crown of life. Oh, wait, I also want James 1:12. Catherine, so if you'll do that. And so this one, the crown of life, let's read them. We'll see which one of you has it first. You got it, Becca?
Yep.
Okay.
Do not fear what you are about to suffer. Behold, the devil is about to throw some of you into prison, that you may be tested, and for 10 days you'll have tribulation. Be faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life.
Okay. Catherine, you read it.
Blessed is the man who perseveres under trial, because when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life that God has promised to those who love him.
Okay. Remember how I told you last time in Philippians, he references a lot about endurance?
Mm-hmm.
Well, this is why. The one who endures gets the crown of life. That is actually a crown that we will have, that we will be able to lay at the feet of Jesus. It's promised to those that love God and his son, and they persevere. They endure. It's the ones that persevere and endure. Okay. Look at 1 Corinthians 9:25d. This one is the crown of victory. And so with the crown of victory, this one here is when Jesus says, anyone who wants to follow me must take up his cross and deny himself daily and follow me. This one is supporting what will take place with the crown of victory.
Okay. Every athlete exercises self-control in all things. They do it to receive a perishable wreath, but we an imperishable. So I do not run aimlessly. I do not box as one beating the air, but I discipline my body and keep it under control, lest after preaching to others, I myself should be disqualified.
That's so good. So the crown of victory is the crown that we have that's everlasting. It's incorruptible. It's what we were talking about, how it's unchangeable. Because of what Jesus has done, we are victorious. And so he has given us the crown of victory, and it is given because of the self-denial that we have of being his child. Catherine, do you have 2 Timothy 4:8? And this one's going to be the crown of righteousness. So we've had the crown of life and the crown of victory. So the crown of life was perseverance. The crown of victory is dying to self because of what Jesus has done that's incorruptible for us. Now, 2 Timothy 4:8.
Now that there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. And not only to me, but also to all who have longed for his appearing.
Okay, this is what Jesus gives us as our victory over sin. Mm-hmm. And so it is his gift to us. And so it's the free gift of victory over sin. And so it's the crown of righteousness, his righteousness in us. So we have perseverance, self-denial, and then victory over sin. Becca, would you look up Proverbs 4:9? And Sandy, I want you to do 1 Peter 5:4. Okay, with this one, this is going to be the crown of glory. And the crown of glory, it's a shepherd's unfading beauty that can be seen. So, Becca, go ahead and read.
She will place on your head a graceful garland. She will bestow on you a beautiful crown.
Okay. And mine says a crown of splendor. Okay. Sandy, do you have 1 Peter 5:4?
I do. It says, if I can find it again, and when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that will never fade away.
Wonderful. Mm. Okay, so with this one, it's as an under-shepherd, and there's another place, and I didn't take the time to look the verse up this morning, but there's actually, it says, you know, that as the shepherd, you receive a crown. So, and that's the reason why he says up there, each one of you need to be careful how you build. Be careful how you take care of your flock. I mean, it is very important. And the crown of glory, it's unfading because the glory is his. And because we're under him as our great shepherd, he crowns us with the crown of glory. Okay, Sandy, look, Dee, 1 Thessalonians 2:19 through 20. And this one's going to be the crown of rejoicing, and which is kind of fun because that is what Philippians is all about, and that he's trying to challenge us to be a people who rejoice in the Lord always. And so go ahead and read that one.
Okay. For what is our hope or joy or crown of boasting before our Lord Jesus at his coming? Is it not you? For you are our glory and joy.
Okay. This one's the one for soul winning that I had talked to you about. And ultimately, this will be the final crown we will receive because it's when we get there, all the people that we've brought. And somehow we've had an opportunity to share with them, and they've come to know the Lord. And, I mean, that blows my mind. And so when I'm sitting with people and I'm talking through circumstances, whether it's just life or discipline or whatever, it's always in my mind. It's like, you know, does this person have Christ? Is it eternal? And there are times where I'm blunt now. I've just learned I don't play around. I am bold and blunt because it depends on which person's listening.
That's true.
Yeah. And recently I had a situation and I was talking and I just looked at the person. I'm like, have you ever asked Jesus to be your Lord and Savior? And the person looked at me and said, no. And then they were in complete shock because they couldn't believe they told me so.
Yeah.
And I was so glad for that moment of honesty because then I was able to share why and to press in with the person. And I think we forget that's why we're here. I don't want to have been where I have been complacent and I didn't ask, or I just assumed, and or even worse, I gratified somebody into hell because I was afraid to even ask. Mm-hmm. You know, and so being willing to pray for it. And so I've been praying a lot, I don't know, probably in the last, I don't know how many months. God's really heavy on my heart. It's like, God, just, I don't want to lose sight of eternity when I'm talking to people. And so getting one, obviously, somebody to the next level spiritually, but not to assume that in my Christian settings that somebody's even done it. And so being willing to ask the hard questions, even though I could get somebody that thinks I'm blunt, not bold, and asking them. And he's been orchestrating moments where I get an opportunity and then I'm surprised and the person's surprised. And it was really funny because one person, he was just like, oh, I just thought I was coming to ask for forgiveness. I didn't know this was going to be happening, you know. And so it was pretty funny how it unfolded. But we've got to, because I want to be able to lay thousands upon thousands of crowns at Jesus' feet. And I would love for that to be, because it's eternally, I'm bringing somebody with me. And you guys all know that were at the radio with us last month, and that I am praying that God give me the ability to disciple, mentor, lead in some capacity people, so that I literally have someone in every continent. And that's something I will never know. That's a God thing. Mm-hmm. And but that's my desire, that I'm faithful enough that when I get to heaven, that many people will lay their crowns at Jesus' feet. Because Revelations 3:11 says, I'm coming soon. Hold on to what you have so that no one will take your crown. Mm. And the crown that he would be referencing would obviously be the crown of life. You know, because that's the one we get for having believed. We don't want to allow people to destroy the work that Christ is doing in us. So as we went through those crowns, what are your guys' thoughts? I mean, what does that make you think? Have you thought about the fact that what we're doing on this earth actually impacts eternity, what we will bless Jesus with?
You know, I think about, I'd said to somebody one time, so who's your flock? And they kind of looked at me kind of funny, and I said, well, the gals that come to my fellowship on Tuesday, to me, that's my flock, you know, and others, my neighborhood, my, you know, whoever God reaches out and puts in front of me. But it was just like, I don't think they understood. I don't understand what I was talking about.
It was a shock to me, because I think I was actually probably their age, young 20-year-old, and I don't remember. It was probably Marianne Bridgewater had said something about, you have a flock. And I'm like,
what?
No, I don't. I'm like, I'm just me. You know, I don't know anything. I'm at the beginning of this. And she's like, no, you have a flock. And that was a shock, that I am actually a shepherd over people and accountable mm-hmm. for them, and that I need to be careful how I build them up. Yeah. And it's like that ownership of the people. It's pretty serious business.
Yeah, it is.
Go ahead, Sandy.
I think we always think of the flock as our pastors, you know, and they are. We are their flock too.
Right.
But it's not all up to them.
Right. Okay, so ladies, what were your thoughts?
It's really a question of, like, who does God put in your life, and mm-hmm. who does he put on your heart mm-hmm. to be caring for? And if you are willing to ask, he will show you who those people are. Cause,
he will.
Yeah, and he'll just direct your thoughts and all of that. Yeah,
we just have to be obedient to listen.
I flat out ask him, bring me people so I can lead them to the Lord.
I've done that, but like, show me somebody that needs something today that I can be, you know.
Show me the opportunities you're giving me.
Yeah, give me an opportunity.
I have recently, because I'm so slow with my feet right now, God, bring them to me.
Yeah.
Bring me the people, because I can't catch them anymore. Like, I'm not fast enough. And I've been blown away at the people he's been bringing into my path. And so you need to do the same. God bless.